guests. We're glad you could be here with us today as well. And welcome, too, to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. At this time, I'd encourage you all to sign the friendship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign your name and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. On the inside cover of your bulletin, we have announcements of upcoming events, things happening in the life of our church. There are just a couple I want to highlight for you this morning. The first is 2 weeks from today will be our congregation's annual meeting following worship. This will be the opportunity for the session to present the annual report from the previous year. So we hope you can plan to stay a few minutes after worship to hear some highlights of that report as we celebrate all that God is doing in our midst and all God has done in the previous year. And then second, tomorrow we will resume our Monday morning prayers and Bible study. Prayers for the congregation begin at 9:30, so if you have just a prayer request, feel free to send one in through the offering plate, through email, and we'll be sure to pray through the concerns of the church. And then our regular Bible study group meets at 10. We're continuing to read through the Gospel of John. We hope many of you can join us tomorrow. Now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
Good morning. This morning, the youth and the children, we teamed up and we sorted through all the donations we got from Operation Warm. And we got 41 jackets, 14 blankets, one pair of pants, 43 pairs of gloves, 27 hats, two pairs of socks, and two scarves for a grand total of 129 items. And these items will be donated to the community to help keep members of our town warm, because as we all know, it's freezing today. So, and thank you so much for your many donations, and we're so glad that we can keep people in our community warm. Thank you.
Thank you to the youth for organizing, and thank you to all of you for your donations. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Walter.
I would like to read briefly from a poem from the collected works of H. Hugh Nelson. A poem. On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. If you know these words, you may realize that something's missing. And the same is true about the Montreat retreat coming up in May. If you don't sign up, you'll be missing a good time and we'll be missing you. Now, if you added music to these words, I can guarantee it would give you the willies. Add your name to the list in the hall, and you'll be glad you did.
I'm speechless. Thank you. Thank you, Walter. We really do hope as many of you who can enjoy fun and fellowship with us in Montreat in May. The sign-up sheet is out in the commons, and I might promise this on behalf of Walter. If you sign your name, you might get to hear that song. How about that? Are there any other announcements? Yes, Marion.
Thank you. I'd like to invite everybody to a special worship event this Friday night at 7 o'clock. We are fortunate to have Ballet Magnificat come to Dalton, Georgia. They are a professional dance, Christian dance company out of Jackson, Mississippi. And all the dancers dance to glorify God. And they will be performing, as a worship service, they're doing Deliver Us, which is the story of Moses. And so you'll see the sermon danced. It's a little different. It's really good. And there's singing and there's praying and there's an offering too. But it's us at 7 o'clock Friday night, and it's free, and I hope to see some of y'all there. And also, while they're in town this weekend, they will be teaching the middle school and the high school dancers in Dalton. And they teach them dance, but they also worship with them and pray with them. So it's a really special opportunity for all those gifted with dance in the community to share with y'all, too. So it's Friday night, 7 o'clock. It's at the Recreation Place at Christ Church, and everyone in the community is welcome.
Thank you, Berrien. Are there any others? And let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after.
To live in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the beauty of the Lord.
And to inquire into his temple.
And let us pray. God with us, in Jesus Christ, you enter our lives with a purpose. Help us uncover that purpose today. Give us joyful hearts for worship. Give us humble hearts for confession. Give us open hearts for listening. Give us compassionate hearts for caring. Give us wise hearts for following. We pray through the one who calls us here, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. Gracious God, you bring joy as you enter into our lives as Jesus Christ, yet we plot to keep you out. When you challenge us, change us, call us to new life, we hold back. We prefer settled routines to discipleship. We try to follow, but not to your cross. Have mercy on us, Lord, and remove our sin. Transform us by your Spirit, that we may live with courage, following in the way of Jesus, wherever he leads. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Come on down. Hey, nice to have some new friends with us today. Good morning. All right, how is everyone? Good? All right, we're going to try something new today. Are you ready? All right, everyone stand up. Okay, come follow me. Are you ready? This way. It's working. This is great. All right, now we can sit over here. Now we're out of the way of the camera, although the camera hopefully can follow us over here. So what did we just do? Got up, you walked, asked you to follow me, and what'd you do? You exactly that. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story, and that's exactly what Jesus does. One day, Jesus is walking along the shore of a lake. He looks at some people. He says, come, follow me, and they get up, and they follow. And they did exactly what you did. They don't ask any questions. They don't even turn around for their things. They just got up, and they listen, and it's kind of an amazing thing. Right? Because sometimes we don't always know what God is asking us to do, but here is Jesus walking along the shore, and he asks people to follow. And so in some ways, that's all that we do here is we try to think of ways to follow Jesus. So just like we got up and walked over here, God asks us to follow. Can you think of some ways we try to follow God or follow Jesus here? What are some things that we do together at church?
We pray.
We pray. It's one of the ways we follow God. What else do we do? We worship. What do we do in worship? What else do we do? Do we listen? And we sing? What are some of the, did some of you get to help pack clothing this morning? Yeah? So what were you doing then?
Helping.
Yeah, you were helping. You were helping people who are cold or who don't have clothes for the winter. You were helping so that they can be warm and have things. You were helping show love. And that's one of the ways that Jesus asks us to follow. Can you think of anything else? Yeah?
We talk about Jesus and God.
We talk about Jesus and God. That's right. We share the story in Sunday school and here in worship. And we share it sometime with people that we know out in the world, the ways that we share love through clothes. Oh, hold on. I think we're losing too many threads here. I'm going to hold on to these. That's a lot of thread. You're lucky it's your birthday. All right. What are the other ways we follow? Yes.
Listen to God.
We listen to God. We listen in worship. We listen to each other. And when God says, or Jesus says, follow, what do? We follow. Exactly right. So thank you for your help in telling this story and helping everyone out here think about ways that we follow Jesus together. Can we have a prayer together? We put our hands together. Close our eyes. You can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for calling and for helping us to follow. Help us to pray, to serve, to love, to do all the things you ask us to do. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you hold still for 1 second while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Listen for God's word. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you. As with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4. Jesus begins his ministry along the shores of Galilee where he makes his home. And the first thing he does is call disciples. The Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we worship, we praise you, for in Jesus Christ you came to us in flesh, that we might learn what it means to know and love and serve you, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Meet us again in this place, in the ordinary stuff of our lives, in our work, in our relationships, in our worship of you, that we would discover something of your grace that follows us wherever we go, and always leads us home to you. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. About a decade ago, my parents were displaced by a house fire. They moved into a temporary home and got to know their new neighbors. And one of the neighbors, the woman who lived immediately next door, was getting on in years and was beginning to suffer from dementia. So the adult children of the woman were members of my parents' church, where my father was pastor, so my parents and the children of the neighbor had regular contact as to what was going on. This started on the occasion when the woman invited my father over to help fix her TV. And the phone rang, and my father overheard the woman saying to one of her children, "Well, I can't talk right now. The Lord is over here fixing the TV." Then she repeated herself, "The Lord is here, the Lord is here." So the children were obviously concerned because they realized that someone must have actually been at the house. So they raced over to see what was going on. So the woman had connected in her mind that my father worked for the church. She just hadn't figured out exactly in what capacity. So the Lord continued to show up at her house. And this happened most frequently on garbage day. In the woman's mind, every day was garbage day, so every morning she got up and wheeled the trash can down to the curb. And every day, without fail, my father rolled the trash can back up to the house. And sometimes later in the day, the trash can would find its way back to the street, and so sometimes when my father had the inclination, it would make its way back up to the house. Now, if my father wanted to convince this woman that he was not Jesus, I think he needed to quit cleaning up her messes. Because what better enactment of God's persistent love is there than the fact that Jesus continues to take out the trash in our lives? So this will forever change my view of forgiveness. And it all comes down to this, the simple fact that Jesus meets us at home in the ordinary. So we often think of Jesus as the cosmic Christ of history, the one through whom the world was made, the one who defeated the powers of sin and death at Calvary as the veil of the temple was rent in two. So that's what we think salvation looks like, not Jesus taking out the trash. So the Gospel of Matthew wants us to see Jesus in two ways, and they seem mutually exclusive. Matthew wants us to see Jesus in the ordinary, but there's enough in here to convince us that he's special. So the gospel begins with Jesus' family tree that includes notables like Abraham and David, prophets, priests, and kings. Matthew tells us how when Jesus was born, a star appeared in the heavens to show the way for the wise men, and as if to say, this is the light of God coming to earth. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and a voice proclaimed, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And following his baptism, Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and at the end of human endurance, refused power over all the kingdoms of the world because he would worship only God. So Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is special. But following all of these heady events, we get the last thing we might expect. We get Jesus at home. Matthew says, now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left his home at Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea. So Jesus has just stumped the devil in the wilderness, but is afraid of a little political heat back home, as John, the one who baptized Jesus, is all of a sudden out of favor and in trouble. He does maybe the last thing we might expect, and that is, he doesn't really do anything. Jesus makes a home. Did you know Jesus had a home? Mark alludes to it, but the word Matthew uses makes it clear. Jesus found a house where he intended to stay. So maybe he had a yard and a water bill and a neighbor who needed help with her TV. It's hard to think about because the last thing we expect of Jesus is for him to stay anywhere long enough to have a house or to trouble himself with some of the mundane things that we do. So haven't we heard that the Son of Man will have no place to lay his head? What is Jesus doing? So we get a few hints from Scripture. There's John, the writer of Revelation, who offers something of God's ultimate intention for humankind, writing, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. God's home is with us. So in an oblique way, the story today picks up this theme. So where does Jesus make his home? He's in the region of Dan and Naphtali. In Zebulun, the ancestral and eponymous home of a couple of Israel's tribes who had the misfortune of being in a country that was under constant threat of invasion. And it was populated by people like Canaanites and Syrians and Phoenicians and all the regular suspects who've threatened Israel's peace and safety. And so as Israel was regularly threatened by foreign invasion every 20 or 30 years, these people were often the ones who bore the brunt of the world's instability. And this gives rise to the tradition that we heard from in Isaiah that this greater region, Galilee, is home to the Gentiles, these outsiders cut off from God's covenant. And so there's one important additional detail that Matthew makes to show us how strange this home is that Jesus has made. Jesus settles by the sea, which is the customary home of primordial chaos, the enemy of God. And so although plenty of the disciples were fishermen, most Israelites preferred to live in the hills. The sea was the location of danger and chaos and invasion. My help comes from the Lord. I will lift mine eyes to the hills. That's where Israel belonged. So to sum it all up, Jesus must have gotten a great deal on his house because he bought in a highway of invasion populated by covenantal outsiders next to the chaos that most people would choose to avoid. So all that to say, Jesus is exactly where he wants to be. So I think that impulse to build a home is a powerful one. We want to feel steady and stable somewhere. We make homes with families and we set down roots. And we want roots because it's when you're unattached to a place or a people that you find it harder to weather storms. And if there's anything inevitable in life, it's storms. Storms of unemployment or poverty, storms of divorce or depression, storms of illness or addiction, storms of loneliness or helplessness or hopelessness. What's the first thing you do in a storm? It's you look for shelter. You want to run home before the heavens open up and the wind blows and the rains come down. And the deeper the roots, the stronger the shelter. And the better the safety when the storm hits. So Jesus makes a home. It means that God's just like us. So the problem is, many of us don't have that shelter like we once did. So statistics bear this out. NPR reported on another study this week indicating that 3 in 5 Americans feel lonely. Meaning a majority of people feel that there's not someone they can run to when a storm hits, or someone who really deeply understands them. Where do you go when the troubles of life come? So we all know the really well-rehearsed and dire statistics about church disaffiliation. A majority of people under the age of 25 no longer ascribe to any religious tradition. And people over 75 show an inverse of this trend, which means in 50 years, half a generation has lost faith in God. This doesn't bode well for the next generation after. And so this doesn't mean that the tendency to worship and explore and look for help and look for home has changed. Research shows that a majority of millennials, that's people my age and a little bit older and a little bit younger, a majority of millennials look for things like work to provide a source of ultimate meaning in their lives, which says to me that a majority of millennials are going to be deeply disappointed in the result of their lives when all is said and done. And so this desire to find meaning in the ordinary is still there, this desire to find home in the midst of our lives, to make sense out of what could be a seemingly random life events. We want to construct meaning and home in the midst of that. But we have lost that sense of rootedness that puts us in the neighborhood of Jesus. And we look for other things. And so there's no accident that this has been a banner year for astrologers. And I look at news like that and I think, astrologers, so help me. That's what Augustine was dealing with 1,700 years ago. But now all of a sudden we want to look for anywhere else to find meaning in our lives. So people still want a home. Home can be a place or a person. Home can be a tradition or a way of life. Home is that place where you feel most yourself, where you get rest and shelter and protection from all those challenges you face in the world's storms. That impulse has always been there. Remember, Jesus made a home too. So maybe that one question that's most pressing in our lives is, where is that home for us? Jesus shows us what this means. So following settling in the region, Jesus does what most of us do in moving to a new place. He begins to enjoy the scenery and go out to meet the neighbors. Maybe he started taking walks down the beach. That's why he ended up there. So maybe Jesus did this for many mornings before he decided to call out the fishermen on the shoreline. Maybe he saw them every single day, and so he started to know their names and their stories and what they were like he was walking his dog every morning, getting to know his neighbors. And so eventually, Jesus runs across a couple who seem like they'll do. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they were fishing. I'm not sure how important this detail, this symbol is, except for the fact that Jesus appropriates it to describe their future work. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. But maybe since they were fishermen, we might guess a few things about Andrew and Simon Peter. They had jobs. They had families. We know that Peter had a wife and children. They lived on the shore, too, making their living from fishing the lake. So in short, Simon Peter and Andrew already had homes. They were probably good Jews with decent attendance at that nice new synagogue down the street in Capernaum. They certainly weren't rich, but they made a living with their hands. They could feed themselves. And although the politics were never in their favor and the taxes were too high, maybe, just maybe, Simon Peter and Andrew had a decent life and a good home. And so did James and John. They were a little bit farther down the beach, mending the nets with their father. And they too were settled in the place, taking up the family business, which probably stretched time out of mind. Maybe they heard things growing up like, Zebedee's have been fishing these waters for generations. Don't you dare think you'll do anything else. But Jesus calls them too. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. So what to make of all this? What to make of all these settled, maybe even contented people with families and homes getting up and leaving everything behind and following Jesus? What about the vulnerability and the instability? Why would you leave that place where you've been nurtured and sheltered and comforted? Where will you go when the storms hit? So Augustine once wrote, "My heart will not find rest till it finds rest in you, O God." This is the life that Jesus calls us into. So Jesus makes a home. Jesus makes disciples. Maybe that just means Jesus' home is with us. That home is a person, not a place. In the shelter of your wings, O Lord, I will take refuge until the destroying storms pass by. This has radical consequences for how we are to live. This is how God took a settled people and used them to spread the gospel throughout the known world. This is how God calls us out of settled routines and familiar patterns so that we can keep following Jesus, never content with anything less in our lives than God's full and abiding presence, because that's what God has come to give us. We give up comfort and familiarity so that we can gain so much more. A life spent following Jesus into places of chaos where others would rather not go. So maybe they seem dangerous or unsettling, but that's just where God is, and that's just where God calls us, to join in the work of calling and mending and offering light into the darkness of creation so that everyone can see that the home of God is among mortals. So if we are truly looking for home, if we are truly looking for the place where we belong, we will find God instead, the one who makes a home with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith together with one voice. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, we wander here by different ways, but we're all looking for the same thing, even if we don't always know it. We're looking for healing or hope or meaning or encouragement, all of which you give us in Jesus Christ, your Son. Make us a part of his community here, that together we would bear one another's burdens in prayer and fellowship, celebrating with those who celebrate, mourning with those who mourn, working together to spread the love and grace of your coming kingdom. Be with us in our prayer as we join our hearts with yours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we rejoice with our brothers and sisters in this place of worship. We're grateful for the encouragement of your word, which tells us that we are never alone. We're grateful for the hands of welcome that draw us through the door and lead us into friendship. We're grateful for the opportunity to serve our neighbors here in this place, those who are hungry, those who are looking for shelter, those who are struggling to cope with the ravages of natural disasters. Bless the work of our hands, all that we do, and our worship, and our work, and our planning, and our mission, to your glory in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we remember those who cannot always be with us here, but are no less a part of your body. We pray for Kay Clark as she recovers at home. We ask your blessing on Dick and Jean Lowry and Greg and Valerie George. We remember all those close to us in need of your healing and ask your spirit rest with them to offer hope and encouragement, healing and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we remember those who are mourning or alienated or alone. Some whom we know, some only you know. We ask that your loving kindness would cover all who feel far away from others. And pray that you would help us as your people to extend such gifts to others that your body would grow until that time when Christ Jesus would be all in all. Lord, in your mercy. God, we pray for this community in our city, particularly for those who are vulnerable, those who are new to this place and have no community to support or welcome them, those who are looking for work even while working or struggling to pay bills, to buy food, or receive medical treatment. Pray for those who are cold or seek comfort and shelter. And we ask your special blessing on those who sometimes feel far from us but are in reality very close. And pray that you would teach us, as your people, how to love and serve them. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As his people knit together in the unity of his love, we pray with one voice in the way Christ teaches all his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude and thanksgiving, let us return our gifts to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we are overwhelmed by your grace and your abundant blessings which enter our lives. We are amazed at what you do with the labor of our hands in calling us outside ourselves to stretch the bounds of your kingdom. So we pray that you would take what we offer today, that it might be nothing less than hope and healing and bread for hungry souls. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Christ Jesus, the one who calls us. Amen.
Thank you.
The home of God is with mortals. The home of Jesus Christ is with you. So go, and wherever God calls you, know that you are always at home in the loving arms of God. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with this day and every day. Amen.